Hey, you know, when we start these Zoom sessions like this, it comes up on my screen. It says, admit Larry and Josh. So I, in my mind, I'm like, all right, Josh. I admit, Larry.
It sounds so reluctant on your part. Yeah.
It sounds like when you press that button, we should be escorted into the room with white jackets on. You know what I mean? Like, okay, we're here.
We've been
Welcome
admitted.
To the program. You've been admitted. That's the voice of Josh Fligger and Larry Morgan, everybody.
Yeah, it is.
I'm Andy Chanley, and Sam Farmer's on assignment. Probably at a pro day somewhere, yeah?
I get. Well, I don't know.
When's the draft?
April.
It is April. Has it happened already?
No.
Is it
in Cleveland this year?
I don't know. God.
He might be buried in 3x5 cards right now. I don't know.
You'd have to imagine. But I think the draft is like next week, isn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
If it's in April, it has to be next week. Because
so out of it.
Monday's the 19th?
No, it's Thursday, April 29th. So it's still...
Oh, so it's a week. Yeah.
A week away from the day this gets released.
All right. Let's get started.
Right, okay. Let's do this.
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end.
Burn me off.
Tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
He's like Jimmy Page. Huh? He never plays it the same way twice.
Yeah.
Put a little flourish in there.
Exactly. That is the last time you should ever make that comparison at all for any reason. That is the dumbest thing you have ever said of all the dumb things you've said, Josh.
Are we officially a jam band now?
Jimmy Page.
We're like fish. We're like fish. Yeah. We're a jam band now.
There it is. That's a little better.
I'm sorry I said that.
Yeah.
That's what I call a little razzle dazzle in the opening theme.
That's really called is you always forget how it goes and you just kind of launch into whatever comes to mind.
It's called I Hope It's in This Key.
Pretty much. Hey, speaking of razzle, do you remember Razzles the candy?
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Give me some Razzles. It's a whole candy store in a package.
How do you remember the jingle?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's crazy. That's weird. What stays in your brain? Wow.
You eat them. They're like sweet tarts, right? And then they turn into gum as you go.
Except they turn into the shittiest gum in the world.
It's terrible gum.
What's better, Razzles gum or Fruit Stripe?
Oh, Fruit Stripe gum. You remember that with the zebra?
Yeah, it's awesome, but for 30 seconds, then it just turns into just wax ass. It has no flavor whatsoever.
Well, everything's better than bubblegum card gum.
I agree, Larry.
Let me tell you something. I don't care what it is. It's better than bubblegum. I hate that stuff.
That's the worst.
It loses its flavor immediately.
Gets stuck in your teeth.
Oh, didn't take long for this to come off the rails.
So long, everybody.
Gonna have a drink after that one. Mm.
Oh man.
Wowzy. Well, good night, everybody. It's not going to get any better than that.
But just turn off the podcast now because that nothing will be better.
Let's just start over and see if we can get a second show.
Yeah, that's right. Let's do next week's. Take a break. Oh, wow. Sorry about that. I think I pulled something on that one.
Wow. So baseball bubble card gum is pretty gross, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... But it resembles the. It's been so long since I've had it.
It's the chalk. It's the chalk on the outside of it that makes it so disgusting.
Well, I think it's the crunch.
It disintegrates into just like a paste. It's not even really gum.
It requires human saliva to recompose itself actually into gum. You know what I mean? It's this weird chalk brittle. Yeah.
And somewhere along the line, someone must have said. Baseball cards. Nobody's going to give a crap about baseball. We better put something in there that kids are going to want. And it's like, let's put the cheapest assest gum in the cards And that will make it, I mean, the combination of those two things makes zero sense, because all anybody yeah. cared about was collecting the cards, but you still put that damn gum in your mouth.
That's my problem, is I started collecting baseball paraphernalia, baseball collectibles, memorabilia when I was 8 years old. I have saved 43 years worth of baseball card gum. I saved the wrong part.
You collect it. Have it signed.
I have.
You didn't chew the cards, attic, did you?
No, in the attic, I have 1,500 pounds of a baseball card gum.
You got a rookie Bazooka Joe signed.
I want to sell the whole thing as a lot. Yeah, I've got a Ty Cobb rookie card in there. You want the gum from a Ty Cobb?
Do you have every one of them authenticated? They have a certificate that goes with them?
Actually, I think the Ty Cobb card came with a pack of, like, you got a couple cigarettes with it.
Yeah, that's right. A wad of chewing tobacco. Yeah,
exactly. That's right.
Just for kids. Get them started early.
Babe Ruth came with a fifth of gin.
Hey, that actually reminds me. I don't know what made me think of this today. It was, and I'm sure we all grew up in parts of the world where you knew guys who were constantly carrying a spit cup. Can I see a show of hands?
That was eighth and ninth grade in school.
Yeah. No, it was just, right. I mean, to think about that now, and no, don't drink out of that. That's my spit cup. I knew a guy.
You lost him. We did it.
Oh, I didn't even. I wasn't even trying.
You didn't even try.
I had a spit cup.
Oh, dang.
This is the best episode of the year so far.
I had a flashback to one time. As soon as you said that, one time, we were partying, and his parents were gone. And we partied all night, and we all slept on his couch. And I woke up in the basement in his couch, and he had like a coffee table there. And I remember just waking up in the morning and just being all dry mouth and gross. And I reach over, and I see a can of Coke sitting there. And I just grab the can of Coke, and I just take a big slug off of it. And it wasn't chew spit, but it was somebody using it as an ashtray.
Sure, yeah. dropped a butt in there. Big old smoking butt.
As soon
as
you said it, the flavor... The flavor came back into my mouth, and I was just like...
I feel like we've all done that at some point. Accidentally almost swallowed a cigarette butt.
Oh,
look,
God.
I guess the thing that I was thinking about is I had this flashback. It was Walt Garrison, wasn't it, who did the commercials? That phrase, just a pinch between your cheek and gum. The fact that they used to advertise Skoll on television. Yeah. And it was Walt Garrison. I want to say it was Walt Garrison. It was like that was his big
just pinch between your cheek and gum. You get that flavor all day long.
Yeah,
the advertisements in magazines. It was literally like every third page was either a Winston, a Marlboro, or some type of cigarette ad. I just remember we got a Time magazine subscription, and those like every third page being some
Camel cigarettes. Joe Camel was everywhere, dude. Honestly. That has to be part of why I smoked from 18 to for 13 years. I smoked for 13 fucking years.
That's what I'm saying. You know, Walt Garrison was like a Dallas Cowboy, and those guys were gods when I was growing up. And the fact that I remember that commercial so distinctly, and I can remember that phrase, and I can't believe that it didn't lead me to at least want to try it, you know?
Well, I wonder if it was a regional thing, since you were in Texas, if that's, you know, I don't remember it being Walt Garrison. I was trying to think. I thought it was a baseball player, you know?
Well, like, I'm sure there were other guys.
Goose Gossage or somebody doing it when I was, a teen.
No, I'm pretty sure that those were national commercials they were on during NFL games.
Oh, okay.
Like, but I mean, I'm sure they used
totally
other guys.
I totally remember them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I totally remember. I used those. I mean, I remember being, it was kind of, and maybe this is because my dad grew up on a farm and, cigarette, the connection between tobacco and cancer hadn't been so clearly cemented in everyone's mind, you know, in the early 80s. But I remember being 15, 16 years old and, you know, going out and cutting the grass and just like everybody else on the football team did, having a skull bandit.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, in between my cheek and gum and going out and doing that stuff.
I couldn't play baseball. I caught and I'd have a big old Levi Garrett plug in the side of my mouth.
Yep, there you go.
Spitting all over the plate. The umpire bitching at me, quit spitting on the plate.
But my folks were fine with it, right? They were okay with it. I mean, they didn't love it.
Because you weren't smoking.
Yeah, I wasn't smoking.
I was going to say, back then it was considered the safe alternative to cigarettes.
Right.
Yeah.
I was taught to do it. I was taught to become a cigarette smoker.
I had, it would be my dad's uncle, so I guess that would be my great uncle. I don't know. My first day of buck season when I was like 14, we got up at like 3 a.m. I guess this is a tradition because it was my first year hunting, right? And I was the youngest one there. And we get up like 3 a.m. We all meet at my great uncle's house. And he's got like 4 boys. And plus it's all my uncles and my dad. So it's just this big long, and this guy used to be a lumberjack. So it's this big long table in this dining room. And my great aunt is making everybody breakfast. And we're all sitting down in our hunting gear, and they put me at one head of the head table because I'm the youngest, and then the other head of the table is my great uncle. And we're all sitting there waiting for him to come down. He comes walking down in his orange jumpsuit, sits down. First thing he does, doesn't even do anything, sits down, pulls out a can of Skoal, and just takes like 4 fingers and just jams about a half inch of tobacco down his lip. Then he starts eating scrambled eggs. It was so good. Oh, I was just sitting there staring at him like, you're an animal.
Oh, God.
That's some lumberjack thinking right there.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Oh, man.
Fresh thing of Skoal with some scrambled eggs. Yeah.
That was what made a Skoal bandit tolerable. Well, I mean, it gave you canker sores because there you had a pillow of gauze in your mouth. But beyond that, it didn't get loose. It didn't get in your mouth, and you didn't have stuff in your rotten teeth the rest of the day if you had a Skoal bandit.
Did you ever?
They don't even make those anymore, do they?
Yeah, I think they do.
Do they still?
I don't know. I would have no idea.
But my dad, his chew when I was growing up was, I think, Red Man.
Yep.
Yeah. My dad switched to he was going back and forth. He would have the, you know, again, grew up with half the boys in school had that little ring in their back pocket.
Yeah.
You know, where it had formed on their Levi's. Yeah. So you knew that. And the big fight was always whether you were a Skoal or a Copenhagen guy.
Yeah.
Right. That was the big battle. And then my dad did that for a while. And then he realized Red Man was somehow the way to go, maybe for the very reason you're talking about.
Now, Skoal was wintergreen, right?
I think so.
Well, they had different flavors. I think Skoal was like a mintier flavor, but they had different flavors to it. I think the difference between the two was Copenhagen was finer. It was more like almost like a powder. Because I remember going all through your teeth, just like, you know what I mean, looking like you ate a pile of dirt.
Did you ever do snuff, like nose snuff?
No, I'm not. You mean in England? The Queen one time? Did
was
it.
I ever a foppish, member of the court of Louis XIV? No, Andy, I was never there.
I remember my dad buying, having some nose snuff.
What?
And you would take tiny little bit of it and put it.
Is that what he called it? Yeah, is that exactly. What he said it was?
Exactly. Yeah.
And you would take a little bit of that and just, you know, sniff it up your nose, and it would, I don't know, get you a little bit of tobacco high.
It was weird.
The weirdest. Yeah. But I remember trying that with him, and it came in a smaller, I can't even picture the container, but I know it was smaller and rectangular. I'll have to go do some digging on the internet to see exactly what that was again. But I definitely remember trying that. It wasn't something that stuck with him. I think he just wanted to try it once to see what the, foppish men with bowler hats would do in Victorian England.
Yeah. Very weird. Childhood memory I had, and I've been meaning to ask you guys this for a while. It has mildly something to do with smoking, especially since, as anyone who can listen to you guys and hear the amount of memory loss and brain damage you've had, everybody knows you guys have been serious stoners, and one of us continues to be. But has either one of you had to take a lie detector test? Not like voluntarily for a bit, but where you were ever required to take one?
No.
I'd be terrified.
No, you?
Because I have, it's one of the most traumatic memories I've ever had. And it was such a benign thing. It was apparently a corporate policy for this company that I had applied for a job when I was like 15 or 16 to bag fucking groceries at a grocery store. And it was a small regional chain, and they told me before I could take the job, I had to go in and take a lie detector test. And the thing you always see, they strapped me in this little thing, and it was just like, this is so weird. And they were looking to, you know, get reputable people, I guess, to take, you know, groceries in bags.
Yeah.
And I just remember a series of questions. And maybe it was bogus. I mean, it might have just been completely just to see how I was reacting to stuff, but it certainly felt real. But I remember at one point he asked me if I ever smoked marijuana. And I said no. And I remember the guy looking, because I hadn't. And I remember the guy looking up at me and like, really? And I'm like, no, I've never smoked anything. And he was like, okay. And I was like, no, dude, I wasn't lying to you.
You think they just that was you, the thing.
He
like
thought I was absolutely, and he was, maybe he thought I was so chill that I was lying about the fact that I was so chill. I don't know. But I've never forgotten that. I barely remember anything else he asked me, but that particular moment made me like, this is a grown-up adult looking at me, just assuming that I smoke pot because he figures every teenager does.
I think maybe I told you this story before, but it's a favorite of mine. My friend Mike, we were talking about him last week, lives up near you in Templeton.
Right.
And he had a friend who was his dad was on the one of the police forces up there in the Central Coast, and he had a cousin who was applying, and I'm getting some of the details wrong, maybe to protect the innocent, but he was applying for employment there, and they, you know, said, you know, just answer everything honestly. He's like, okay. And they said, have you ever been drunk? I was like, have I ever been drunk? Yeah. Have you ever been intoxicated to your knowledge? And he's like, yeah. And they said, okay, how many times do you think you've been intoxicated? And he said, all together? No, yes. He said, I don't know, 3,000?
3,000. 16 years of getting drunk every day.
it's honest. It's great. It's pretty fantastic. Larry, you made me think of something with your issues right before we logged on here. You were trying to get the sound right. It just jogged my memory. We haven't had a music episode in quite some time.
I was going to bring that up because we had we took a big chunk of a break there, and I was thinking about that as we came back, and I just wasn't sure how regular our schedule was going to be. But yeah, I think we're due for something in the near future, if not sometime soon.
Yeah, as I say, I think if we get if we decide on a topic now and then just simmer on it for a little bit, that, you know, like the day before, we can say, hey, let's do that episode tomorrow, and we'll already have our songs in hand.
Yeah.
Well, there are a few things coming up that I'll just throw out. We've got Mother's Day.
Right.
There could be, your favorite song about mom. I think I'd choose Pink Floyd's Mother or Glenn Danzig mother? No, I don't know.
Doesn't John Lennon have a mother song? How does it go? Mother is
the
what is
that? How does that go? You had me. I never had you.
Yeah, something cheery like that. That's what I was thinking.
That was literally the song I was going to pick. Yeah.
Maybe not that topic. What else you got, Andy?
Yeah, I just don't know. Well, Earth Day's next week, isn't it? We'll be past that already.
Yeah.
Summer song. Summer song. Feel summery. We've done summer songs before.
Comes back.
We did summer songs last year.
Yeah.
I think it would have to be different summer songs if we did that this year.
Well, maybe there's I had a couple of things that were simmering that I thought of. Like,
that's right. And we had some suggestions. Yeah. Didn't we use all of the ones that were sent by listeners? If you're listening to this right now, and I can't imagine why you are, you can either call in with those on the YAF line. The YAF line, by the way, I don't think we have any calls this week because I don't think anybody thought we'd do two episodes back to back. It's been a long, long time. The YAF line number is 626-657-6428 or O Amuck PM Hat. That's just the letter O, not OH. O Amuck PM Hat. 626-657-6428. Or you can email us at
yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. Yeah, if you got a great idea for a music episode for a topic or you want to reiterate one you've sent before, I would be happy to check that out. And if we get enough response, maybe the following week we can work on that. And if I come up with anything spectacular between now and then or anybody else, we can text each other and figure that out.
Yeah, we won't count on that. Okay. But I wanted to ask you guys, now that we're getting into the summer months, the spring months, it's like 90 degrees today here in Southern California.
Yeah, you guys got a warm one today.
As we're doing this on Sunday, it's going to be like 90.
Yeah.
And first or second time it's been that hot so far this year. I'm gonna have people up my fucking ass to get the pool up. Yeah. I'm gonna hear it before the day's done. I know I am.
Well, let them know it's gonna dip right back down again on Tuesday. So what's the point?
Right. Yeah. There you go. And I'm in day five right now of my cycle. So of my chemo cycle. So this is about as tired as I'm going to get through the whole thing. So this would be the shittiest day to be out there in 90 degree heat trying to pound together, 2-inch pieces of pipe to put together a pool. That's not my first choice. Yeah. But anywho.
You got a pretty good excuse, by the way.
I got it. If you're going to have an excuse,
exactly.
I've got cancer.
Exactly.
Yeah, that usually turns people away.
You know what would make me feel better from this cancer? Is some fresh popcorn. You know, just you gotta start milking it. You know, just be like, oh, I'm really tired. I'm gonna lay down. You know what make this cancer hurt less is some, maybe Reservoir Dogs and some fresh popcorn. Yeah.
That's I'll happy try. Sunday for Josh right there. Yeah. Big bowl of popcorn and Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
That's the non-NFL Sunday for Josh.
Yeah. Vivian, you're six. You can handle Mr. Pink now.
Yeah, there's
come
a
on,
Mr.
sit
Pink.
Down. Yeah. So that stuff's going on. What I wanted to ask you guys, though, is I think that a little bit later today, we went out yesterday, went to the Home Depot and picked up some soil and a few plants. I think maybe we might end up going today down to Fig Earth over there in Atwater Village, where there are Highland Park, wherever the hell he is. This guy that has a bunch of specialty plants and stuff. Anyway, it's time to plant the spring garden. And I was wondering if you guys were involved in that, in planting any sort of garden this year at all or not.
Well, involved, yes. I mean, we have we don't do a specific spring garden. We have some stuff that is we maintain year round. We don't really have the harsher seasons here. So things are usually very prolific most of the year. We do have a fenced off little vegetable garden that we've been trying to maintain. We didn't do great last year, and I think we're probably going to wait until next year to kind of redo all the soil and everything. But there is actually, we inherited a grapevine in ours.
Mm,
and nice. I don't think it gives off any kind of fruit that either is the edible. Well, it might be edible, but it's not like a wine, grapevine or whatever. But it's beautiful right now. It's got these beautiful, fresh, new leaves for spring. and a few little buds coming up, and we haven't really seen any grapes form. Charlotte's always bringing in new kind of drought resistant stuff for our area because we just have not had the kind of
succulents
rain.
And
we
so
want
forth.
Succulents, but also grasses and things that don't really need as much maintenance, but still grow, and some ground cover type stuff. And the people who were here before us were just amazing. They've got all these perennials. They're beautiful. There's jasmine blooming right now. So most of what we do is maintaining and trying to learn about it, what we need to cut back. You know, I'm usually the one that's given the assignment to go out and get the hedge clippers and just like cut back the stuff that just grows like weeds, you know, just grows some of the salvia and stuff that grows like crazy, and cut it back a little bit for the new season. So I'm involved from that standpoint. She just points and goes, go cut now.
get the
machinery going. But I have no nuance to actual gardening. I know how to pull some weeds and cut some stuff down and trim the rosemary bushes, which grow like crazy in our yard.
Right.
But that's the extent of my involvement.
You just reminded me of when I was in Indianapolis, there was Bob and Tom were on in Indianapolis down the hall from me. And there was a comedian who's pretty funny guy. His name was Stuart. What was his last name? Anyway, he went by Haywood Banks.
Yeah, right, right.
And Haywood Banks, he had these awesome songs. He wrote just these great parody songs, Fly's Eyes, Toast. I mean, he had so many just really, really fun. Go look up some of his songs. They're really funny. Anyway, one time I just heard him. It was just an offhand, stupid joke. It was just a bunch of sight gags and stuff in his comedy routine. But he's like, I saw an ad in the paper. It said, this year for Mother's Day, surprise your mom with a weed whacker. So I went to Sears and I stood in the bushes when she came home. And when she walked up the steps, I surprised her all right. I don't know.
It was
funnier when he did it.
Did you ever get, you know how like the weed whacker, when you bounce it off the ground to trim the...
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever get hit in the shin with one of those things? Or with a rock? Those things
I mean, weed whackers suck. Yeah. Just the way...
They're awesome.
You have to open them up and untangle the stuff, but I can never get them to work.
But you got to admit, every single guy has grabbed the handle and grabbed the holder part, held it up in the air, and went vee 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 vee.
Oh, of course!
It's just you have to do that before you even start weed whacking.
Yeah, that's given. That's why I would never last as a gardener. I would be fired off the crew, show up there.
Give me that blower and I'm gone in like 5 minutes.
Oh, I know. With that blower, man, I would never clear a driveway. I'd just be going, let's see how far we can make this squirrel run. You know, chase it after it.
Shooting it in my mouth, seeing if I go,
look like G-forces. Yeah. Shoot some video of your cheeks puffing out.
Glasses go flying off down the street.
I got to tell you, the work in the backyard, this creating this little oasis, it just feels like it's starting to pay off.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I've got speakers up. I've got nicer speakers up this year. I've got another pair of them that's going to come up to extend the sound out in the yard a little bit better. Got the place for the barbecue all ready to go. Last night, you know what we did? We watched a movie. It was the last day of spring break, basically. Last, you know, non-school night of spring break. So we got a new screen to pull down on the side of the guest house.
Like permanently attached, or you just like hang it up there?
Permanently attached, nice. Yeah. Yeah, well, I had one before. It was just one of those, you know, $20, just a scrim.
Right.
That you have grommets that I had spread. Just looked like hell. Looked like a shitty Spider-Man's web. You know, this is not great. But I got one that's like a pull down, right? It's like, I don't know, 9 feet across or something, eight feet across. And you pull the thing down. It's glorious. And bring out the little cheap $150 projector that I have and set that up.
Is that just like a DVD player, or can you like stream live television?
Yeah, it's a projector, right? It's a LED projector. They're like $140 on Amazon.
Some Monday, when it's all said and done, Monday Night Football.
Right? Well, and then I bought a fire stick.
Oh, yeah.
Put a fire stick in it. Well, you can't. It has to be dark for you to see anything. But I got a fire stick to plug in the HDMI port on it.
Yeah.
And so now it just streams anything.
Nice.
It streams anything I subscribe to.
I think I'm reversing my original statement. I think you need to put the damn pool up because it sounds like it's time to get out there and enjoy.
Yeah. Sorry,
Andy. No.
Yeah, it's getting to be that way. Yeah. It's getting to be that way. Larry, I got to bring up something with you, though.
Oh,
you know this non-alcoholic beer?
Hey, look, I just told you about it. I didn't tell you you had to overconsume, you big fatty.
I didn't tell you you had to jump into the NA lifestyle.
Yeah, it is not non-caloric beer, it turns out.
Well,
I'm getting comments from the peanut gallery of, Daddy's fat. Yeah.
And that's
Laura. That was Laura who said that. By the way, I went to Circus Liquor. I bought them out of it. All the different kinds of it.
Right.
And then went to the next liquor store that has some in stock because they're not getting any in anytime soon at the circus. So I go down, a mile down the road and get some more. And then I go back yesterday as we're out shopping. I'm like, hey, can we stop by and let me buy a little bit of that stuff? Pop in there. They don't have any of it. And I asked the guy, he's like, oh, yeah, some woman came in and bought it all out. Like, son of a bitch. She better be in chemotherapy or this is bullshit.
I feel like if we have to step in and have a meeting about your NA problem, will be the lamest thing I've ever done. So
yeah, I'm gonna have to go to NAAA.
Well, you don't have to drink four in one sitting just because they don't contain alcohol.
Well, here's the thing:
you can always wait till the PM to start.
Here's the thing. They have, okay, how many calories are in a can of Coke? Like,
Coke
like,
Zero.
No, like a Coca-Cola, regular Coca-Cola. I would imagine there are 250 calories.
I was going to say, like fair. Over 200, right?
Right? Yeah. It has to be.
I'd say that's fair.
In one of these cans of IPA, these NA IPA, it's like 70 calories. It's not that much. And if I have two or three of them, I would think that wouldn't be that much.
I wonder
much, but
if this has to do with the process of being NA, because alcohol comes from the yeast eating the sugar and pooping out alcohol.
Right. So if it's
NA.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Slow down, Mr. Brewmaster. Could you dumb it down for us regular citizens out here?
The yeast eats the sugar and poops out alcohol.
Okay. I'm starting to get it now.
But I wonder, since that process isn't happening, that maybe is there more sugar in beer? In NA beer?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Is yeast poops alcohol? Is that the name?
That's your call, man. That's your call.
I've made
yeast
beer before.
Poops alcohol. You have made beer before. Did you have a carboy that you made it in your garage or what? Yeah, how did you do it?
Don't you remember that big thing that I brought in for when we made
Oh, that we made the Pruno.
Oh, God.
Oh, Larry, I'm sorry you weren't around for that. That was glorious.
No, no need to try and recreate that moment.
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't.
For people that don't know and don't remember and never listen to Mark in the Morning on the sound, Pruno is the jargon for
prison wine,
right? So it's I guess is the PR part of it from prison.
I don't know.
But where's the Uno anyway? It's jail wine, and he gets the idea. Hey, let's make some Pruno, and we're like, okay. So you take a can of fruit cocktail.
You got fruit cocktail, ketchup, bread,
a piece of bread. Yeah.
And oranges. Oh, no, that was the fruit cocktail.
What was the ketchup for? For the vinegar or something? Or for the sugar?
Maybe.
Probably for the, corn syrup?
The bread was for the yeast, and the sugar was the...
There was so much corn syrup and ketchup.
It was a bunch of gross shit. Yeah.
But here's the thing. And then you let it rot. You let it ferment.
Yep.
And
by the way, aren't you supposed to do it in a toilet? Were you guys authentic about this?
Well, no, that's they wouldn't let us.
Okay. Oh, did you want to?
Oh, no.
Always getting shut down by the man.
I know.
Could you imagine? We take one of the stalls in the bathroom. Yeah, we put a sign on it for the cleaning crew. Do not change. And we just brew it in there for a couple of days.
The bucket's got a big KSWD sticker on it. It's tucked behind the toilet. So you technically can use it.
That's great. but when we actually tried it.
We had a sommelier in.
We did. Yeah. Oh, yeah, from Vendome Liquors, we had the Smiley. Was it Smiley the Smiley?
I don't remember.
Something like that. Anyway, we had him come in and pair different wines with different things and you know different foods because it was getting close to Thanksgiving, I believe, when we did that.
I don't even know why we did it. Honestly,
I remember you brought in Night Train for him to pair with something. I still have the bottle; it's right behind me over here. But. The Pruno was not
it wasn't
undrinkable.
Yeah,
it
I was remember not being like scared, like I'm afraid I might hurl, and being like, oh, that wasn't terrible. I mean, it was, I wouldn't chug it, but it tasted like a really kind of bad orange Mad Dog. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
That's what it tasted like. It was just like this really bad, weird, funky orange Mad Dog. But yeah, it was gross.
Wow.
Funky Orange Mad Dog. Isn't that a Tone Loc song?
Hey, guys.
Funky Orange Mad Dog.
I know. I rarely bring anything to this show, but I saw something like 2 weeks ago that I've been meaning to bring up, and I think this is the time to do it. And I want
Well, first of all, don't sell yourself short, Josh. You are the beating heart of this of this otherwise lifeless corpse of a podcast.
This is an article on NPR, and it's a list, all right? And it's this, I saw it, and I read it, and I was like, I got to bring this up on the show. And I have the list in front of me, and I want to, it's a top 25 list, okay?
All right.
Okay.
And it's the top 25, according to the NPR listeners, the top 25 Muppets of all time.
Now, do we get to guess? Do we get to play Guess the Muppet?
Here's what I was going to do. And any ideas would be great. You tell me, you spitball, do whatever you want with it. But because there's 25 of them, I didn't want to be like, guess all 25.
Yeah.
I figured I'd count down 25 to 10 in five in batches of five, and then we can discuss. And then when we get to the top 10, see if you guys can name, you name them and I'll check them off.
All right.
Does that sound like, or do you got any other ideas?
Well, actually, why don't you go opposite, see how many we can guess in the top 10, and then after a few guesses, if we just can't get there, then you can reveal a list to us. Because otherwise, you're going to maybe tick off some ones we're going to try.
Okay. So I want you guys to see if you can name the top 10 best Muppets of all time.
All right. Shall we just take turns? Andy, you want to go first? We'll see if we can nail it. Let's see how we do.
Sure, I'll take the low hanging fruit. I think just from a sentimental reason, I think Kermit the Frog would be in the top 10.
Survey says, number one.
Obviously.
He's number one. That's
all right. Who knows? All bets are off at this point, but I'm going to go with Cookie Monster.
Cookie Monster is not in the top 10.
This NPR listeners are fuckheads.
I'm saying there's some on this list, and I'm like, I can't believe that's not okay. Go ahead. So Cookie Monster is at.
All right.
Should I tell him when you guess him? Should I tell you what rank? He's number 11. So he just
just outside.
Just outside. Well, I'm going to have to go with Fozzie Bear.
Fozzie Bear is number 7.
Okay. Mm. He would have been my next guess. That's a good one, Andy. But we're still not in the top five other than Kermit. So I'm going to go maybe something a little unexpected, but has grown over time to be appreciated. I'm going to go with Beaker.
Number 4.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
I think that one's overrated. Beaker, he's but he's not number. He shouldn't be.
Yeah, but there's a growing fascination with Beaker for some reason over the years.
Yeah, but he's a sideshow. And,
all right, we got 3 of the top 10. Andy, what do you think?
No, you got 3 of the top 10. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, interesting here. I was going to do something else. But I was going to go something much more low-hanging fruit. But tagging on to what you just said, Larry, a fan favorite, an obscure fan favorite somewhat, Swedish Chef.
Number 9.
Yeah.
Ah,
see?
Nice.
See, I think they should be paired together. I think they are actually one Muppet because
That's good thinking, Andy. I'm beginning thinking about NPR listeners and maybe a certain age group, and I wonder if maybe the Muppet movies and the show have maybe more impact than say.
Oh yeah, by the way,
the original series.
This encompasses the movies and the show,
and also Sesame Street,
and Sesame Street.
Yeah. So, because I have a real affection for Sesame Street characters
and shit like that.
No,
Fraggle Rock.
So I'm gonna stay in the Muppet universe, and I'm gonna go not as obscure, but maybe an unlikely choice. But again, I think has grown in stature over the years in meme and social media culture. I'm gonna go with Gonzo.
Number 2.
Ha!
What?
Number 2.
Gonzo's 2?
Yep.
See what I mean? Wow. You have to think about these fucking NPR dickheads.
Wow.
maybe that's it, because I agree with almost like 22 of these being on the list. I don't agree with the ranking of some of them. Some of them I'm like, that's like... Mm. Gonzo is definitely top 5. I don't think he's number 2.
Well, see, some of these movies are movies that, especially some of the first few movies, people have grown up with and have this real attachment to. And so those characters, and there's one obvious one we're missing here, but go ahead, Andy.
Yeah. Well, I got a couple in the pipe here ready to go. We are not including Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas,
no.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, you can, but they're not on. I'm just telling you right now, they're not on the list. Yeah.
Well, then I'm going to go
in the bottom 25.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with some. I'm going to go with some low hanging fruit again.
Yeah,
Miss Piggy,
number 8.
There we go. Okay, that would have been my next guess.
I think she's a little low. I don't think she's 8. I think she's probably
She always kind of pissed me off a little bit.
I don't like her, but I think she is an important part of the Muppet universe.
No, agreed. But I'm on Andy's side. I mean, I think that's a decent ranking because I'd put her a little higher just from kind of a profile standpoint. But not to be misogynist, she's kind of a bitch. So
totally.
Yeah. So I think she deserves that lower part of the bottom 10.
Well, we've got 6 of the top 10 right now, and I think I know what the other 4 are.
I think this is when you guys are going to start hitting the wall a little bit.
I don't think so.
There's some ones on here that I'm like, okay, go.
Okay, well, you're giving us some hints there, but...
Hold on just a second. And we're back.
All right. That extra time didn't help me at all. The only thing I can think of right now, I'm blanking a little bit, so I'm going to go back old school Sesame Street, but still high profile. I've got one of two possibilities there. I'm going to go with Big Bird.
Mm. Not in the top 10.
Ah, damn it.
Bullshit.
That's what I'm saying. Number 14 is Big Bird.
Yeah, see, the OG Muppets are not getting any love here except for Kermit.
He's not even the highest Sesame Street.
Here's the thing.
Oh, okay. I think I know what it is.
Yeah. What you just said there, Larry, is the way I'm going to go. I'm going to go for an OG Muppet.
Yeah, you might get this one.
OG Oscar the Grouch.
Right.
Oscar the Grouch, 13.
Damn, man.
So he's not OG is not OG.
Nope.
All right. So, okay. So I think I have to.
Top 10.
I think I have to go a little bit more contemporary. This feels very obscure to me, but I'm going to kind of with my same thinking with Beaker and some of the others and Gonzo, I'm going to go Sam the Eagle.
Sam the Eagle's not on that list, but I don't. What the hell is Sam the Eagle? Why is he on this list?
Sam the Eagle is a very proud American eagle.
Yeah, but he doesn't. What was he on? I don't know. I only remember him being at the beginning of the Muppet Show.
He was sprinkled throughout. He's
that big blue thing, right?
He was a cameo. No, he was an eagle.
Yeah, but he was a blue eagle, wasn't he? Like a big blue eagle.
I don't.
Yeah, he was kind of bluish.
Okay. Yeah, he was
grayish blue.
He was like the biggest Muppet in at the beginning of the Muppet Show when they all panned back and they were all sitting there.
And he had the big proud voice and
yeah.
Okay.
Ernie.
18.
Son of a bitch.
Well,
I'm not even going to guess Bert then.
No, Bert's going to be lower,
Bert
right?
Is, 23.
Well, I'm really having trouble here. Let me think about like the Muppet movie and who would have been part of that crew. We've had Kermit, Fozzie, Gonzo.
Three of these you should get. One of them I didn't remember until I actually read it, and I was like, nah, F that guy.
I said Cookie Monster earlier, right?
Yeah, Cookie Monster he was 11.
Man. Elmo Fudge.
Elmo is 22.
Which
is, I think, perfect. I think he belongs at the bottom of the list.
But Elmo has like expanded beyond the show and become part of pop culture.
But again,
a toy,
I think
and
this is NPR listeners, which I think are probably finding grating.
NPR listeners, I got it. Yep. I got it. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Ready for this? Mr. Snuffleupagus.
He is
no way
on the list at 20.
Yeah.
God bless it.
No, I think the OG Sesame Street characters are going to be lower. I'm really struggling here. I mean, there better not be a Scooter somewhere in the top.
Scooter
like
is 21.
No, that wasn't my guess. I'm not letting that be my guess.
That's not your guess, but he is 21. I'm just checking him off now.
I just can't think of who else was remotely. No, there's no way the guy's in the balcony.
Statler and Waldorf. Statler
number
and Waldorf.
10. Statler and Waldorf.
As a pair?
I was right about the set, yep.
As Which a pair?
Yes, as a pair.
Okay. Wow.
So
we're down to three in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
So there are three left that we haven't guessed in the top 10.
Two of them you should guess. You should guess.
Oh my God. I got it. Absolute.
What are we missing?
Animal.
Number three, Animal.
Oh, damn. Of course.
All right, so there's two more. One of them you guys should guess, and the other one was one that I don't think you'll guess, and one I'll say, you'll be like, oh, I forgot about that guy.
Well, okay, so the one that should be fairly obvious, can you give us a hint? Were they part of the Muppet Show?
Sesame Street.
Okay, they were Sesame Street.
What about Ralph the Dog?
That's the one I'm talking, that's the one I didn't think you would get.
Oh, okay.
He's number five.
Well, then,
sorry, I didn't mean to jump.
Well, that's okay, because I was gonna guess through. Grover.
That's number six.
There it is.
There we go.
He would be the highest, besides Kermit, he would be the highest Sesame Street.
Now,
Muppet.
See, Grover was my favorite, but I thought people had kind of moved on from Grover to be more like Elmo people. But Grover was always my guy. I am a Grover.
Yeah.
He always looked like a carpet remnant to me.
They were all carpet remnants. Are you kidding? That's how. Tim Henson didn't have any money when he started that thing.
I always liked him because, like, when he did that stupid Super Grover and he'd be flying.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, every once in a while, like,
that was me.
He'd explode and, and you'd see his puppet body go flying across the screen. Yeah. All right, so the rest of the ones were this is a newer one. I think this is from that stupid show. Remember the new show that they had like a couple years ago? It was on prime time, like the new Muppet
on
show.
ABC.
Yeah, Rizzo.
Get on Mike because you're talking. Yeah, there you go.
Rizzo the Rat was 12.
Oh, okay.
All right, here's one. Do you remember Janice?
Yeah,
Janice,
she's in
the
band.
Bass player.
Yeah, Janice. Yeah. She was number
I was going to guess her. I couldn't remember her name.
Dr. Teeth?
He was 24.
Yeah.
And this one I think is also from the new show, Pepe the King Prawn.
No, he's been around.
Really? Yeah. I don't even know what that was. Okay, here's one. This one was my favorite one because I completely forgot about him, and I'm glad he's on this list. Sweetums.
Sweetums.
Do you remember, I think in the Muppet movie, do you remember when they get in the big bus and drive away, that big thing chasing them?
Oh, no. The big hairy thing.
Yeah, the whole movie. Sweetums. He's just chasing them across the country. I think that's Sweetums. We got Scooter, and then the Mr. Irrelevant, number 25, the Count.
How did we forget the Count?
Yep.
I'm surprised he's that low.
The top 25 Muppets of all time.
Wow.
as there you voted go. On by the NPR.
By the
listeners.
Way, my apologies to NPR listeners for calling names and disparaging you. I am as well an NPR listener, and I call myself those names. So I find myself as obnoxious as you. So
sauce for the goose, mm-hmm. Larry. Thank you for that list, Josh.
No problem.
Was tremendous.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah. Now you got to be the list guy. You got to come up with one of those a month.
Every week.
Now you're the list guy.
Hey,
you're the list guy.
If you guys got an idea for a list, go ahead and email me.
It's Joshua J. Fligger at gmail.com.
Send me a dick list.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry I said that. I know I'm going to get something effed up now.
I hope you do. I really do.
All right.
Larry, how can people get a hold of you, by the way?
I'm on Instagram at the Larry Morgan.
And I'm on Instagram, Andy Chanley. I'm on Facebook, DJ Andy Chanley, and on Twitter at Andy_Chanley. Hey, was there anything in the Yafsack this week, Larry, for us to know about?
Maybe.
I'm telling you, I don't think people thought we would string two together, and I'm a little bit surprised myself.
Yeah, you know what? We'll say, I bet you anything after our encouragement. Maybe it was because we basically covered everything we needed to hear about cement last week, and there is nothing else to talk about.
No remaining unanswered questions.
Should have just ended the show right there.
Yeah.
Just said
but,
bye.
But for George and Low Energy Mike both to shun us, I frankly am a little hurt. So
it's hurtful.
I think I had one email. We'll save it for next week, since Josh will definitely not come up with another list ever again. So we'll need something to fill time. So,
well, gentlemen, it's been wonderful seeing you.
Yeah, right back at you. Hope you're good feeling times. Well and hanging in
feeling,
there.
Feeling great. Got to go deal with a dying cat.
Yep. Okay. Well, all right. Let's end on a cheery note. Here we go. And a one and a two.
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships in, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friend.
That was pretty good.
Bye-bye, peeps.
Bye, yappers.
See you later. Bye.